From RunAsRadio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 817, Windows Virtual Desktop Becomes Azure Virtual Desktop, with guest Jen Sheeran. Recorded Tuesday, February 15th, 2022. Run As Radio is produced each week by Sound Thoughts, LLC. For more information, visit soundthoughtsllc.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Hi, this is Richard Campbell. Thanks for listening to Run As Radio. Bringing back a guest today, Jen Sheeran, who is an end user specialist with experience in traditional cloud and hybrid environments. Her areas of expertise are in the Microsoft Azure Virtual Desktop, Citrix Digital Workspace, and Citrix Networking. She works for Microsoft as a fast-track engineer on the Azure Infrastructure Americas team. And Jen is a Citrix technology professional, the founder of the U.S. Azure Virtual Desktop User Group, the Citrix User Group Women in Tech Mentor, and the Citrix User Group Tampa Bay User Group co-leader. She's passionate about technology learning and sharing with the community. Welcome back, Jen.
Thanks, Richard. Thanks for having me on the show again.
Oh, glad to have you back. And of course, things have changed. When we talked back in 2020, amazing how long ago that already is, you were an independent, but now you've joined Microsoft. Congratulations, I guess. It's you're just doing more of the same, right?
Thank you. Yes, yes. Continuing to do cloud and Azure Virtual Desktop. Mm-hmm. So still doing the same and expanded into, of course, all of Azure.
And all of Azure,
as an right. infrastructure engineer.
Your previous show, which episode 730, where we also talked about Virtual Desktop back in the I think that was in the pandemic series too, because we were back in the early days or middle in days of the pandemic. There was a comment on that show from Matt Thornton, who you directly responded to, which is nice of you. Thanks for that. And Matt said, "Thanks, Jen and Richard. I really enjoyed this one, and your timing was as salient as ever. We are a small software house, and despite the vast majority of our tooling being cloud-based, we still do maintain VMware ESXi hosts with a few virtual machines, including CI/CD stuff and dedicated build and deploy machines. This is mostly fine, but we don't have external access at all. And so if you need to do anything out of hours, you will have to revert to it to workarounds, which is not ideal. I'm loving the sound of the any, that you can be on-prem, off-prem, like that all works. I was immediately thinking of Windows Virtual Desktop with our build tooling installed. That could be a proper solution to this. What do you think?" I know there's other things like pipelines and proper continuous deployment, but we're not quite there yet for reasons. I know that one well, Matt. Absolutely. There are always reasons. And you responded, admittedly, this is more than a year ago now, you responded then. It says, "Sounds like you're ready for proof of concept." And you pointed them at the Windows Virtual Desktop Quick Start site, which I should include a link to that in the show notes, because it's a great place to start.
It is. And actually, now there is a in the portal, there's actually a link, a quick start link in the portal today. So since we last talked, yeah, it's there has been a lot of changes and enhancements to the product. There's mm-hmm. also been a name change. It's not WVD anymore. It's Azure Virtual Desktop, or AVD.
Right, not Windows Virtual Desktop.
Yeah, so the ARM integration has opened the doors for using more of the feature set of Azure.
Interesting. So it's not just a name change; it's actually a feature set change as well.
Well, the name change reflected the ARM integration, because right. if you remember correctly, the first classic version, what we call the classic version today, was not the first party Azure ARM integrated, right? We had to do all this power shelling to set it all up and permission it, and now it's actually an Azure service, right? A PaaS service.
That's excellent. That is a substantial improvement. And I got to tell you, when I hear ARM, I think CPU. I don't think Azure Resource Manager. Yeah, that just means I'm old. And I should say to Matt, thanks so much for your great comment. And a Run As Radio mug is on its way to you. And if you'd like a Run As Radio mug, write a comment on the website at runasradio.com or any of the social medias. We publish every Run As episode to both LinkedIn and Facebook. And if you comment there and I read it on the show, I'll send you a mug. And Jen, you've got a mug, right?
I do. I drink coffee in it almost every day.
Ah, lovely. That is the best outcome for a mug, right? You put to use and a decent size. So, wow. I mean, on one hand, I was a little upset that I've been so long since I last talked to you. On the other hand, so many good things have happened in between. So I always had the sense that the virtual desktop product sort of existed before the big Azure wave, the really retooling of Microsoft. And that but it sounds like now it's really become truly part of the Azure suite, managed the same way, acting the same way. Like that to me seems like really good news.
It is. It is. We can take advantage of that single pane of managing in the Azure portal, mm-hmm. right? We can use log analytics insights to understand our environment and whatever else resources we have in Azure. We can use things like governance, right? Policies. For our overall, you know, cloud journey. So for the folks that are just, have other workloads in Azure, not just the Azure Virtual Desktops, they can have that single pane of management and control and really adopt the full potential of Azure.
Well, and I got to think it's also good from a billing perspective, too, that it's like this just shows up as everything else.
Yes.
For better or worse, it's a very interesting aspect. I should do a billing show, but I think I'm the only person to be excited about it. Because I do like the idea of being able to granulate billing down to departments to show the IT costs based on behavior for individual groups. And virtual desktop would certainly reflect that as well, I would think, because you are ultimately saving money virtualizing those services rather than deploying hardware everywhere.
Absolutely. And where you can do multi-session. Mm-hmm. And we do have a new feature in preview, the scaling plan. So you can, plan your ramp up times and ramp down times to power down and power up, right? We also have the feature of start on connect. So you can leave your virtual desktops powered off if you're not using them at night. And if, I'm really one of those people that I get home at night and I really want to work and a little bit extra, I can just click the button and in the portal and, in the client and it will, power on for me. So it'll take a slightly little bit longer to launch, but I'll get my desktop.
Well, and by slightly longer, like a couple of minutes, a few seconds, like
minutes.
Minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's like kick it off, go get a coffee, come back, you're on. But you're also
It's not even that long.
Okay. I make coffee pretty fast, but if you're making French press, that's too long.
Okay.
And so I like this idea of auto scale. It's sort of acknowledging that certain times, like say I have a data crushing thing where I'm bringing in a lot of paper ballots or surveys or something, and I have a team that's going to enter it all, that I could actually set up for scaling for that in advance.
Yeah, you can create scaling plans and assign them, and you would be ready to roll if you think you have a ramp up time. A window of, let's say, maybe 9 o'clock in the morning to 12, or you can plan that, and you can change and adjust the load balancing so that you can do the breadth first and the depth first to manage that as well.
Okay, yeah, I know. And it's again, this feels like now I'm the renaming to Azure was not just a renaming; it's thinking like cloud. That we can plan all of that. Do I actually save money by configuring this way, or is it just a time-saving thing?
Oh, no. You can totally save money, based on your environment and being able to shut down. And there's a lot of cost-saving benefits to doing the scaling plan.
To spinning down the virtual desktops. But the saving is in only turning them on when you need them, only turning them off when you don't need them, as opposed to just leaving them on. The other side of this, and I see this happening more and more, is this if you can tell us in advance when you're going to need things, we'll make a deal with you because you make our planning easier too.
Right, exactly. You still have the ability to use like functions and get all customized. Mm-hmm. And you do various different things, right? Out of the portal window and the hub window, you can see the scaling plan and use the GUI. But remember, there's still always options for coding and using the API and creating customization. I think that's one of the main things about Azure Virtual Desktop. It offers a lot of flexibility in how you provision or maintain your environment.
Right. You're working in Fast Track, so you're helping companies get on virtual desktop. Are there typical scenarios that you're working with? Like there are real strong cases for Azure Virtual, and of course the corollary being there are cases that are not great for virtual desktop?
It varies. So There are customers who want to try it out, mm-hmm. and figure out how it fits into their environment and do this proof of concept with ultimately, you know, a lot more to grow. But there's also, you know, folks that have it may be something like Citrix or another, you know, third-party solution that they want to integrate,
right,
and use with Azure Virtual, you know, with the multi-session, right, OS.
Yep.
So they may not necessarily use the Azure Virtual Desktop control plane. They may use another control plane or management plane, but they can still use the multi-session.
Interesting. So, and I don't know that I know enough to understand what you mean here. How would I be using Azure Virtual Desktop without using its control plane?
Yeah. So perhaps we can talk a little bit about Azure Virtual Desktop, mm-hmm. and the multi-session, because there was a lot of confusion when it first came out with the WVD was Windows Virtual Desktop, and it sort of suggested an OS.
Right.
But there is a difference between Azure Virtual Desktop being the PaaS service, if you will.
Right, a platform service.
Right. And then that allows you to control. So it has the things like a broker, a gateway, that allows you to connect to that virtual desktop. Right.
Okay.
And that's all Microsoft managed. In the traditional on-premises world, you would be building all of those components, right? If it was RDS, you would be building servers to do all of that,
right,
brokering to get them to that session. And so other technologies out there offer different solutions, like Horizon has their version of VDI, and they have a control plane that you use their control management tool to handle the brokering. And so does Citrix, right? Citrix has their studio. So you would still be able to use those control management control planes, but you can still access the multi-session Windows virtual, Windows OS,
okay,
right? The multi-session OS, and still continue to use your existing, providing that you have that connection to Azure, because the multi-session OS is only available in Azure.
Interesting. Okay. So that still feels confusing to me, but I get what you're saying. So if I'm working from the Citrix control plane, am I even seeing that it's running in Azure, or it just pops up? Like it doesn't make any difference.
You can use the Citrix control plane to manage everything.
Right.
But you still have this VM that sits in Azure.
That has to live somewhere. Exactly. And that,
yes,
is that an on-prem control plane then?
No, it would be Citrix Cloud.
So it's Citrix Cloud.
It's only cloud.
Then speaking to the Azure Virtual Desktop. Or is it actually Azure Virtual Desktop, or is it just Windows Enterprise Multi-Session Remote Desktop?
Windows Enterprise Multi-Session Desktop.
Okay, yes. So it's just an acknowledgement.
Windows 10 or Windows 11.
Windows 11, yeah.
Sorry.
So that's just a distinction of, the bottom line is that Multi-Session Remote Desktops runs in Azure, doesn't run anywhere else. Azure Virtual Desktop uses that, but Citrix can also use it.
Correct.
I'm getting there. You're helping me, Jen. I'm starting to understand.
I'm going to throw a little wrench into it.
I love everything about
we
that.
We also do that. We have a little new availability of Azure Stack, so we can do multi-session Windows 10, Windows 11 with Azure Stack as well.
And Azure Stack is your on-prem cloud infrastructure that's still managed by the Azure team.
Yes. Yes.
Oh yeah, that's definitely a wrinkle. But the bottom line is, the best thinking I've ever heard about the idea around Azure Stack came from Jeffrey Snover, and it was like on a cruise ship where they're sometimes disconnected or very limited bandwidth, being able to have some infrastructure on the ship that operates efficiently for the ship. And then when they are in good connectivity, it's just naturally synced with the public cloud and their other resources stuff. Because it's hard to understand why you'd want Azure Stack, I think, in a lot of cases.
I like that. That's a good analogy.
Yeah, it's just what is the circumstance where, I mean, and you like it, I like it because Azure, or rather cloud as an architecture, makes a lot of sense for folks. And you want to have the same architecture in the disconnected state and in the connected state. So, you know, the fact that you could build it that way and spend the money to run that hardware. I've done whole shows on Azure Stack. Like, it's its own level of complexity. But the fact that Azure Virtual Desktop also runs on it is pretty cool. That's an interesting add.
It is.
And Jen, I'm going to interrupt for one moment for this very important message. This episode of Run As is brought to you by the SQL Server and Azure SQL Conference at the MGM Grand Hotel in Las Vegas, April 5th to 7th. You've heard the SQL Q&A shows we publish on Run As twice a year from the conference. That is a microcosm of the 5 days of fantastic learning available to you from the real-world consultants and members of the SQL Server team that speak at the show. Learn proven problem-solving techniques and technologies you can implement immediately, as well as the insight into the future of SQL Server. Get answers to performance monitoring, troubleshooting, designing for scale and performance, working in the cloud, and exploring all the new features of the latest version of SQL Server. And if you still have questions by the end of the week, join the conference's closing session and be part of a SQL Q&A show on Run As Radio. The SQL Server and Azure SQL Conference is at the MGM Grand Hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada, April 5th to 7th. And go to msqlconf.com to register today, and you can use the code RUNAS to get a discount on your registration. That's at msqlconf.com, and I'll see you there. And we're back. It's RUNAS Radio. I'm Richard Campbell. That's Jen Sheeran. We're talking a bit about Azure Virtual Desktop, not Windows Virtual Desktop. Things have changed and genuinely are different, and I think in a lot of good ways. But we should talk a little bit about Fast Track, because I think that's what your job is these days, right?
It is. It is. So I work on the Azure infrastructure team.
Okay.
And we basically are an enablement program. So folks can fill out nominations and get our services. It's a complimentary service that we offer to help guide with design and, you know, working on their project.
So what's the nomination process? Like, who qualifies for Fast Track?
It is driven by ACR. So it's like a $5,000 a month ACR.
Okay. So you're...
Or more.
Because I know when I've talked over on the M365 side, it's like, if you have 150 seats, E3 or E5, Fast Track will help you. Like, it is a certain seat threshold that gets there. But this sort of a base spend on Azure, and you qualify for this?
Exactly.
Okay. So, and I mean, $5,000 is a lot for an individual. For an organization, that's just not that much money, really. It's a pretty low bar.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that it's unreasonable. A lot of folks have been migrating to the cloud more rapidly than I had a couple years ago when we last met.
Oh, yeah. Well, It is interesting. Like, if you think about it, October 2020, so we're well in that, we're, you know, the latter half of the first year of the pandemic. Ugh, I hate these terms. Because we'd had that huge sprint in March, April, May, where folks were working, suddenly having to work from home. We were just trying to figure out how to make stuff work. By the time we were talking, I thought it was good timing to talk about Windows Virtual Desktop at the time, because I was already hearing stories from IT folks where it's like, hey, I push people home with these internal applications that they're trying to make work over a VPN back to the local data center, and it sucks. And we had a conversation about that virtual desktop role is a better way to do that. It's like, here's how you take a piece of software that is not naturally going to be cloud friendly, that is, you know, got some things in it, but could run as a virtual desktop and be a little more localized, isolated in VMs, and would probably perform better and be more secure than trying to make that stuff work through VPNs or other connections.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's evolved quite a bit. So we found is a lot of folks are even looking for cloud only now. They right. want to get rid of that on-premise Active Directory connection and do identity with Azure Active Directory only.
Yeah.
Or if they're stuck with their older apps and they still need that, LDAP type connection, they may need to do ADDS, right?
Yep. Yeah, and it's another show I have on my radar to get working to talk about. It's just like, what does it mean to not have on-prem Active Directory anymore? And part of that is just like because there's nobody coming into the office anyway, right? Like a lot of folks are staying remote, and just what does that even look like? So it's a topic unto itself, but it is an interesting challenge to start thinking about working differently. I think everybody's living hybrid right now. You certainly have Azure AD and you still have your on-prem AD. It's pretty hard to retire it. I certainly don't have a clear plan on that yet, but I can see why you'd want to do that.
Yeah, I was surprised. We had a number of requests in Azure Virtual Desktop to be cloud only, to be integrated with just Azure Active Directory. And the storage for the profiles was the kicker, right?
Oh,
that
wow.
was the one. And right now that's in preview with so we can actually do it. And looking forward to that coming out in GA.
Interesting. But it is still sort of experimental state. I guess the question I haven't asked you yet and probably should ask a little while ago is like, can I make Azure Virtual Desktop without on-prem Active Directory? Can I just strictly do it with AAD?
Yeah, you can.
But
in a personal desktop situation, completely 100%.
Mm-hmm.
In a multi-session world, the profiles is where it becomes tricky,
okay.
right? Because you still need that SMB share
right.
To be joined. And now the ability to join to Azure Active Directory to get that Kerberos ticket is now on preview.
Okay. So that is, do you think that's the last piece we're missing then? Is the profile information?
Yeah. There is still some work. It's all identity based,
yeah.
right? But yeah.
Who knew identity was such a hard problem? Oh, wait, everybody. yeah. All right. So I'm spending enough money on Azure already. We're having the conversation about, do we want to start using virtual desktops? We haven't really talked about what's a great candidate or not, right? I mean, my instinct just says, hey, I have a group of information workers who primarily live in office anyway, maybe a few custom apps for my organization. I mean, is that your typical candidate?
It's a range.
Okay.
I mean, your use case can be that person, mm-hmm. but it can also be a developer that's working over in India and has that, distance and needs that any desktop and personal desktop with
right.
all these tools. Right, you can give that that person an Azure Virtual Desktop and have them connect in from the Microsoft network standpoint. They will connect into the POP,
right,
the nearest POP to them, and then your network, your traffic is being within the Microsoft network.
And are there any complexities with licensing and software in this? I mean, I would hope that the Microsoft products would license fine for virtual desktop, but do you run into issues with third-party software not being licensed correctly to run a virtual desktop?
That's usually the same as the ability to do support multi-session, right?
Right.
So if the application it was designed to work in multi-session environment, which that's been around for a long time, right? We did server OS in multi-session with RDS or Citrix or VMware, right? We were using server OS to do that multi-session. So a lot of those applications already exist and have those licensing
cool.
requirements and how they do the
Now, I was thinking about bad candidates for virtual desktop. And the first thing that jumps to my head is like AutoCAD, just because of its demands on the machine. Any thoughts there?
Well, we can do GPUs. Okay. We have a compute in Azure that has GPU.
Yeah.
And I had a while ago, before Microsoft, a customer that did some GPU, had some CAD type applications that were running in an Azure Virtual Desktop.
Do you get any, how is the latency issues when you're dealing with a virtual desktop? Like, is that, does that come up? Is it something people notice? Like, now I'm thinking video editing or where you want a scrubber provides frame by frame manipulation.
With the GPUs, the from the graphics perspective and those type of applications, I didn't have a whole lot of complaints there.
Okay.
But I do hear a lot more with Teams, to be honest.
Funny.
Teams has, you know, with audio and video,
right.
And right, you're looking at a lot, and doing the redirection. We do have a additional piece of software, right, to mm-hmm. do Teams redirecting, but it's in general, Teams can be a huge demand.
Yeah, and it's a funny piece of software because I think it's still an Electron app, right? And which is its own set of demands. And then it's trying to plug into all those low-lying libraries for audio and video and so forth. So there's some interesting abstractions there. Lots of folks have frustrations with Teams anyway because it's in this position of being your sort of portal to your organization. And that has its own challenges. So, yeah, interesting that that's a challenge. And, of course, the next part of AutoCAD is licensing, but I won't talk about that. I would argue maybe it's more cost-effective or efficient than building out these huge machines with GPUs very tough to buy right now, that it might be easier to just rent that in the cloud than it is to try and get on-prem machines for that, which is an interesting way to think about it.
It's a very good point. I will say that not just Teams. I know that other folks, because I don't deal with a whole lot of them today.
Right.
But, you know, some people are doing Zoom and other collaborative software with audio and video are also experiencing, you know, challenges.
Sure.
Right? With just VDI and in general.
Wouldn't it? I mean, so I've got a desktop machine. On, you know, at my home, I can run my VDI instance like in a window on one side and just run a Zoom locally. Is that
you could?
That's a workable scenario too. Just get a wide enough screen.
You could do that. I have had I'll do a little shameless plug.
Mm-hmm.
I have founded the Azure Virtual Desktop user group for the US a couple years back. We meet once a month, and one of my regular members actually joins the meeting through a Azure Virtual Desktop.
I love it. Well, it's also super honest, right? It's like,
yeah, he gets you know, audio and video, and it's really a good test.
Yeah, but it's speaking to sort of the reality of this. Of you're trying to abstract. Virtualize all of these media devices, and that's just hard, but it is very validating to try that on a regular basis and pay the price if you need to, just to learn. Okay.
Yes,
so
indeed.
I always have we talked about this last time as well, and every time I've talked about virtual desktop technologies, it's the planning problem. Like, this is not a one person at a time kind of thing, right? You're working kind of in bulk. What's the hard part of getting up and running on virtual desktop?
I think designing your solution and taking the time to plan it out.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot more folks now have settled down with the, you know, urgency from the beginning of the pandemic.
Right.
And now are actually considering, you know, revisiting how they did things and being mindful of the thought process, right? Of, you know, creating those management groups at the start so you can set up your permissions and your tagging and naming structure, so you can manage the costs, right, with your tagging,
right,
among other things, policies at that scope, right, and really taking the time to plan. Do I need X over Y, right? Mm-hmm. You have options for storage. What's my use case? Like we just talked about GPU. Do I really need a GPU or yeah. can I get away without it?
Additional costs if you use a GPU. So is that cost worthwhile?
Right. And then sometimes you just get started and you activate your insights. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at your logs to understand your environment and readjust. It's not that difficult to change the size of a VM, right?
Right.
It's not that difficult to increase your storage.
Yeah, it sounds like great proof of concept fodder. You get those folks that are into trying new things and are critical enough to tell you what's working and what's not working for them, and launch them first and then instrument them like mad to see what how it's actually going for them.
Exactly.
Yeah, before you do the bigger rollout. And is that generally your advice with Fast Track? Like, does Fast Track actually involve any tooling or is it templates? Like, what is the Fast Track experience here?
We are customizable in the sense that we'll help you look at your landing zone diagrams, mm-hmm. and help you, for example, help you, you know, look at gaps, right? You may already have a journey into the cloud and you just want to review and see where can I make things better.
Right.
Or if you're starting greenfield and migrating over from on-premises, we have a whole migration tool, right, in Azure that you can bring all your workloads over.
And that's not just for virtual desktop. That's all sorts of things.
It is. But you may need to bring those back-end servers in so you virtual desktop can present it, right?
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it almost feels like the virtual desktop would be one of the last things you'd do, that you'd want to have those back-end services hosted in the cloud, either as in VMs or PaaS services and so forth, before you really pulled the desktop across.
Absolutely. It's still, I always say, if you're building a house, you want to make sure your foundation is solid and done right at the beginning, right? And it's the same thing. A virtual desktop sits in between your layers, and you want to make sure that foundation is set up properly. And it gives you also the room to grow.
Right. Well, and if you've done it right, it's not a big deal to add more seats to get more people involved and so on. But I guess that's part of the problem. It's always that transitory period. It's like, I've moved that service into the cloud, but we're still trying to use it on-prem. How well does that behave before we actually move the on-prem workloads up there so that it's all in the cloud?
Right. And that's when you get some latency too, right?
Right.
We were talking about latency, but maybe you're still sitting on-premises on that back-end server that you're accessing through the Azure Virtual Desktop, and you're wondering why it's slow, right?
Yeah, if you don't move the back-ends first.
Right.
But it sounds like your advice is move the back-ends first.
It depends, mm-hmm. right? I'm not going to say it's not for everyone, right?
Right.
It's really hard to say that you should do this first. It depends on the use case.
Right. There's no one right way.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like you're still a consultant, actually, because you keep saying it depends. Oh, my goodness.
It does.
Yeah.
It really does. It's about the pros and cons. I mean, are you willing to pay more for high performance or
yeah.
do you you're not ready for that cost and you're just willing to accept slower performance?
Right. And then there's the Azure connectivity services that can give you better performance even when, with a better connection. But those are pricey to set up in the first place.
Mm, yeah. Your express route, or you can do the VPN gateway. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, express route, right? So you can pay for those as part of in your migration process, and maybe turn them off later after you've migrated, just to keep your speed up. But it's all an expense and a part of the complexity. And I think that's why I'd like to have you around while I was doing this stuff, just to say, like, how do we make this faster? And you lay out those different options, like express route and VPN services, and we look at the cost of them and decide, okay, well, we'll do this for 6 months while we finish these migrations, and then we won't need it anymore. Maybe. Maybe not.
Yeah, maybe you take a data box and you copy all that data and ship it to the data center.
Yeah, Yeah, those are cool too. The ability to just physically, yeah, I don't have to upload the data, but actually just get a piece of hardware that will move all my data for me over time. Well, Jen, a half hour disappears quickly with you every time. And I've got a lot to think about here about the new state of virtualization. Thanks so much for your insight. What's next for you? What are you working on?
I've been, thank you so much for having me. Mm-hmm. I've been doing a little bit more infrastructure as code. I think since we last talked, some Terraform now around Azure Virtual Desktop.
Right.
And
that's it.
But that's been on my horizon lately.
That's interesting to think about, is rolling out software and actually creating new desktops as you want to roll it out with Terraform. That's cool. Interesting possibilities.
Yes.
Jen, Sharon, thanks so much for coming back on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
And we'll talk to you next time on Run As Radio.